Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode 133, Saturday Scrawl, Musings on Magic. And after some call-ins, I'll discuss the effects of light-emitting spells on Infravision, an idea for cursed items, and an idea for an intelligent luck blade. Now, on to the messages.
Hey, Larry, John here from Red Dot Stories. Just been listening to your episode about that Guardian article, the whole nerd discrimination and D&D now being core. Although we didn't have the satanic panic over here in Britain, I can certainly see why people who bled for the hobby, as you put it, are a little bit annoyed by this article. Now, myself and I know a fair few other people who were bullied, picked on, and beaten up at school for not fitting in with like the in crowd and stuff like that. So it is a bit annoying when articles like this try and portray it as the cool new thing, even though it's been around for a long time. But I think we have to remember that newspaper revenues are falling. They're trying to keep their gross profits up with puff pieces and grabbing headline using these clickbait headlines. So don't let it get you down. Like I say, it's just one of those things. Anyway, enjoy the episode, dude. Take care. Catch you soon.
And that was John Large of Red Dice Diaries. John, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's merely the title that I had a problem with. The contents of the article itself seem to be fine, and I'm grateful that D&D is catching on and role-playing games are in enormous popularity, but they're acting like, I don't know, those, I guess you could call it yellow journalism titles just to catch your eye. And we all know that if we've done anything with YouTube or other things online, a good title to grab the attention of people is what's needed to stand out from the crowd. So while I understand it, I think they could maybe come up with a catchy title that wasn't derogatory to so many of their audience. Thanks for the call-in. I appreciate that. Next up, one more call-in before the article.
Wow, Larry, 10 years blogging. That is great, mate. Many, many blogs, and I hope we get many, many more. Great contribution to the community. Well done, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Colin. I really appreciate that. That's Colin Spike Pitt Green with that last call in. I plan to keep podcasting and blogging and all the other things online as long as I can. And I intend to be around for many, many more years to come. Of course, you never know what can happen. Things can be over in the blink of an eye. I've had an experience in my life a long time ago when my son, who's now 27, was almost a year old, that my life was almost over in the blink of an eye, and I'm still here. So I very well am aware of that. Sometimes I forget that is the impact of that car accident fades. We could all learn a lesson from that. But thanks for the call in, Colin. I really appreciate that. And now, on to the topic for today. So I had three different ideas related to magic come to me today. And since they're all related to magic, I thought I'd put them together into a single episode. And the three ideas that came to me are, what are the effects of light-emitting spells on Infravision, an idea for a cursed item, and an idea for a luck blade. First up, my thoughts on light-emitting spells in Infravision. Fireball, lightning bolt, light, shocking grasp, and so forth are all light-emitting spells. I wondered, what is the effect of using them in the dark? infravision, ultravision, and normal vision would all be seeing spots if within a certain range of the spell and you're not killed or knocked unconscious. Even the caster could be affected if it's not cast far enough away. I'm thinking for at least the next round, possibly somewhere between a -2 and a -4 to hit as you're not able to see clearly. Casting spells might not go where you want them to go. You might accidentally heal an opponent in the fight, or perhaps wound an ally. In my experience, I think we're used to light spells, lanterns, torches, candles, and campfires spoiling infravision. But I don't recall ever having a DM rule that casting lightning bolt, fireball, or other light-emitting spell does anything to vision. Similarly, a lightning bolt should produce a thunderclap. How loud will this be underground or indoors where the sound wave is bounded by walls and ceiling and floor? Will it cause a ringing or other issues with hearing? Will it give a penalty to hear noise for a period of time? Something to think about. Next up, my idea for a cursed item. This cursed item could be anything, a book, a scroll, a ring, a weapon, or any other item you can think of. If the person suffering under the curse for some reason can't get access to remove curse, their only recourse is to give it to someone who willingly accepts it, as long as that person does not know it is cursed. While they might suspect it is cursed, that's not the same as knowing it's cursed. So if they know it's cursed, they can avoid taking on the curse. So if the cursed person gives it to someone who knows it's cursed, they're stuck. Their only recourse is remove curse or other magical means. So for example, your party finds this cursed item, and the cursed person tries to give it to another member of the party who knows the guy's cursed, it won't work. So just something to think about to make it slightly more interesting for a cursed item. The nature of the curse, of course, is up to the dungeon master. Now for a luck blade. I've shared a story of a luck blade in a past episode where my brother Robert and his campaign for years, and he told me, I don't know how long ago, 15 years ago or probably more, that the party was running around with a +1 luck blade and they didn't know it. And when he first told me about it, I think I knew who had it, but I didn't say anything. And I kept my mouth shut about that all these years, because my character Griswold never interacted much with the character that had this luck blade, and it got passed around to different people because it's a +1 weapon. So as you get a better one, you hand the +1 down to somebody else. Well, they were fighting a demon, and it could only be hit by a weapon of a certain plus. And so the person wielding it was the character of my nephew, my brother's son, Stephen. Hey, Stephen, I mentioned you on my podcast. How's that? Now you're famous. And my brother said, man, I wish I could hit this thing. Well, he took it as the character saying that, and suddenly he had a weapon with enough pluses to hit whatever it was they were fighting. And thus, they finally discovered that this sword that had been passed around all these times was a luck blade. I don't remember if it only had the one wish or not, but there have been other wishes used after a deck of many things was discovered, and I talked about that in another episode about the best inn in the world. So wishes can be fun. So anyway, as I was thinking about a luck blade, I wondered, what if the luck blade was also an intelligent sword, and to complicate things, it no longer had any wishes? I can see a couple of possibilities with that. First, the blade long ago granted its last wish and is now, quote-unquote, merely a plus one blade, but it longs for the glory days of having such power within it. It might be boastful, needy, cowardly, smug, or even helpful. It might have vague, unreliable memories of past locations of ancient rings of wishes, genie lamps, scrolls, and other devices that contained wishes. The locations are so ancient that they now lie in buried ruins, sunken cities, or someone in the more recent past has already found and removed those items. Those removed items may or may not have had their wishes used. The other possibility that comes to mind is that while this intelligent sword no longer has any wishes to grant, the sword still thinks it has wishes. Think of it like somehow the counter of how many wishes it has is broken, and when the opportunity to express how many wishes it has, it will say 1d6. So anywhere from 1 to 6 wishes, and never less than 1. And with a variation on that, perhaps it secretly knows that it no longer has wishes, but strings along its bearer, hinting about the possibility of granting wishes if the bearer completes a great deed. Once completed, the great deed's achievement is somehow flawed, or the wish will bear fruit once the time is ripe. Anything to avoid admitting they don't have any wishes left. And maybe there is a way to truly restore its ability to grant wishes by performing some great deed. But the sword and the bearer have to work together to figure out what that great deed is. So there's a few thoughts on magic items and magic and how to add a few twists to their use in game. I hope you find this helpful. If you like these ideas, let me know. And if you ever decide to use them in your own game, please let me know how that goes. I thank you all very much for listening. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And as always, game on.
And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the many other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of role-playing games and other games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting out the word is important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on my next PDF, published on DriveThruRPG. Please check out my RPG-related PDFs. I'm working on a card game that I hope to kickstart in the first quarter of 2020. You can find the sign-up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!